Good morning.
You know, the prison, when you look at advantage, it's an advantage that Satan has, because a lot of times people go to prison, they come back worse.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
And it's, I mean, it's just, it's not working.
No, it's not working.
Isn't it wonderful what Brother Jerry is doing on the prison?
Yeah, yeah.
Amen, glory to God. What a ministry that is. That's an awesome.
You know, revival in America, you know, may come in a whole different way.
It may come through the prison.
And we think it's going to come.
That's the truth. Most Americans are in prison, you see.
A lot of them. But, you know, I think it might be a whole lot different than what we think, but a great revival.
Yeah.
Be a whole lot different.
Yeah.
Where it is allowed in prison where it wouldn't be anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point too. That's right.
Lois Meyer's books to Bibb County, to the jail, not the prison. And they wouldn't give them to her. You can give them into prisons, but you can't hardly get them into the jail.
Well, my goodness.
Wow.
Huh.
So we need, that's another ministry. You know, we can pray about, because there's a lot of people that just stay in jails around county places, city places, that stay for months, you know, waiting on something.
That's
happen,
true.
And
that is true.
They don't think they have a real ministry in there that I know of. I don't know. I've investigated, but you know, I talked to her. She said, "Well, I never got the books," and I called them, and they said, "No, we're not allowed to do that."
That's bad. Oh.
Pitiful.
And I don't know if it's every, it's like just the county or the whole thing.
Was that recently when you did that?
Yeah, we had a release worker that came to the shop, and he was on work release, so he'd go back to jail afterwards. And his brother was a pastor, and he said, "You full of the Holy Ghost, ain't you?" I said, "Yeah." And we started talking, and I gave him. He said, "I want to get my life right." He said, "Where can I start?" I said, "The easiest thing to do when the Word of God became flesh, study Matthew chapter 4-8. That's a good place to start, because it covers so, you know, the Sermon on the Mount covers so many areas."
It surely does, brother.
And he said, "Oh, I'm going to do it." And he went back to the jail and got the Bible, and somebody had taken chapters 4-8 out of the Bible. And the next day he said, "Man, you ain't going to believe this, but somebody took chapters 4-8 out of the Bible." So I copied.
They might have took it back to their cell with them.
And those are the very chapters they took. And I copied it out of the Bible I had at work.
Oh, my goodness.
That is amazing.
I need to correct what I said. They did have Bibles there, but you couldn't send them stuff. But I think they had a Bible service, had a church, or either a Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
Because when she came out, she was telling me how close to God she was and everything. It did take a couple of months. You know, she was back doing drugs and stuff. But they come out a lot of times. Mm-hmm. After they've been fed the word, they're on a different track. They could just get with the right people afterward.
Yeah. You
know, get in the right atmosphere afterward.
That's the truth. That is the truth.
Their own homes and towns.
That's true. The church really has an opportunity, if we would use it, to try to help people that are getting out, to get them, you know, straightened out.
Like the Love Lady Center.
Yeah.
I saw her on Pat Robertson's show a long time ago about how she got started doing that.
Yeah.
Coming out of jail, didn't know where to go. She ministered to them at home.
Did you get a friend of mine that's what he does in Montgomery. When they're on their way out and stuff, he ministers to them and shows them different things of what
to
expect.
You know, she was from Mountain Brook, but because she started having all those women come into her house, they kicked that ministry out of her house. They said she couldn't do that in her house. That's how she started the Love Lady ministry.
God help us, we're giving an account.
And I look how many people she gets to minister to.
Yeah, you know, the Lord will lead people to these kind of ministries.
She started out with one. Somebody called the master and said, "We don't know where to send this lady. Can you come let her stay with you?" She said, "Well, sure." So after that, that's how that whole thing grew up.
Yeah. And God always starts with something small.
Really, it's his story.
He said, "Don't despise small beginnings. It's going to always start out small."
I want to say one more thing. I know it doesn't pertain to the Bible class, but it does kind of pertain to what we were saying about ministering. Jenna's a social worker, you know, and she worked in the adolescent jail facility out there in Roebuck a couple of years. And they as you said, the state pays this company to send counselors out there and work. So it's a state-paid thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids would just, they just, you know, she just loved them so much, and she said they would all tell her how much it had meant to them for her to counsel with them and everything, but they told her, they said, as soon as we're out of here,
mm-hmm.
we're going right back to what we were doing.
Yeah.
Stealing, taking drugs and everything. She said, but you got to change your environment. You got to get all your friends. He said, you don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing we have is our family and friends. Nobody else will accept us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, as soon as we get out of here,
they tell her.
That's
who's going to hire?
Back to.
Mm-hmm. Where are they going to find a job?
The kids, you know. What are they going to go do? They got to go back home. And,
mm-hmm.
It's pathetic.
Yeah.
And it's so sad. And our state is paying for that. Just think about all across the United States. We're mm-hmm. paying counselors to do this. And they tell them, it's not working. We got to go right back and we're going to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. sad.
Yeah.
We don't know what we're doing.
No. There's got to be an answer.
That's yeah. right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not incarceration. Like
that ain't the
it's
answer.
It's not the answer, because all they're doing in there is getting in touch with guards and other prisoners that know better how to work the system.
Not the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fair it's getting worse.
Yeah. True.
That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Some things only He can guide
That's
us
right.
to.
Yeah.
You good. That's good. Those things need to be known. Listen, we made it to chapter 26 in Acts, and we're getting Paul into he's transferring to Rome. Then he said, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. And Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the people, for the hope of the purpose. I'm sorry. I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. When they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them, even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness of both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, when he told King Agrippa this, this was a synopsis of what had actually happened. Everything was included. He started out a Pharisee against the faith, and then he told about the encounter he had with Jesus and what Jesus told him. Verse 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, then they should repent, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first, and should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning has made thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things.
Brother Thurston, mm-hmm. Stop you. Why do you think he thought he was mad or had much learning? How do you think Paul was telling this account of his conversion?
For one thing, the anointing makes Satan nervous. Mm-hmm. And when people don't want to change, he found fault with it. He had to find a way to find fault with it. Everything he said, it was just like it was sound doctrine that couldn't be condemned.
And he was saying it just like it had just happened.
Yeah.
I mean, he was
probably a little animated.
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. yeah. Just telling yeah. it like, hey, it just happened, you know, and mm-hmm. you know,
very excited. Like,
yeah. I mean, he wasn't just monotone. Well, you know, this has happened, you know.
He was
telling it with excitement and,
like
you know,
a preacher.
He already told what you call, yeah. I think yeah. myself happy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so I can imagine he really dramatized. I mean,
oh, yeah.
He really yeah. was, they say, Paul, you can't be that excited about this. You can't, I mean, this happened years ago. You can't still have that fire burning in you like this, you know.
Plus, how would you dare stand up and say all this to me, knowing what I could do to you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you mad? Why
and
are you
the
saying
way
this?
And the way you're saying it, you know, he's saying it like
are you
he's
really
so excited about
yeah.
what happened. He already told me, I think myself happy.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to stand before you and testify. Is that something you're going to hear? You're going to hear from me.
Right.
I'm already happy.
Uh-huh. What? Are you mad?
And that was no fearing.
Well, he said, Paul, you're beside yourself.
Yeah.
And you know how you act when somebody says, hey, you're beside yourself.
Calm down, Paul. Calm down.
You're beside yourself.
Calm down. You know, you used to see those little ladies testify when they was... I seen one little old lady testify. She got up to testify. She said, I'm happy. Everybody was just looking at her like, what you so happy about? You know, she was an elderly lady, you know, and she was just, I mean, she was just jumping, even though she had to slow walk back, but at that moment, she was beside herself, and she gave us a show. We just looked like,
what has
pepped her up. She came in on her cane, you know, and she done dropped that cane, and she done got herself.
Dancing.
And
good.
I'm not happy.
When you go to the nursing home,
when you
go to Bible studies, they all
get
testified, quote scriptures when
they
arrive when they were young.
Oh, yeah. Well, Paul was beside himself. He was really, I mean, he was really giving them a testimony.
Yeah. I heard a story years back, if I can remember it right, where this little child, he was about 4 years old or 5 years old, just a little kid, and he had never been in a Pentecostal holiness type church.
Uh-huh.
And so his granddaddy had took him with him, and the minister was up at the pulpit, and he was just preaching, and, you know, he was really demonstrative. He was preaching. He was going all over the place. But he was standing up behind the pulpit, and the kid looked at his dad and Brandon and said, "What are we going to do if he gets out?" So, he was kind of preaching about, "Well, what are we going to do if he gets out?"
That's cute.
It is.
What are we going to do if he gets out?
Well, one thing, you know, when you read this, as I'm reading this, I think back to, you know, the Corinthians. And Paul says, when I was with you in Corinthians, he's telling them, he says, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Mm-hmm. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but mm-hmm. a demonstration of the Spirit and the power."
Yeah.
But these guys saw a different Paul.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
These guys said, "Look, you're crazy. You're great learning. You're great learning. Mm-hmm. You've got all this knowledge. Mm-hmm. You've got great learning, Paul."
Well,
if they knew that he had great learning, then he's doing what? He's speaking to them in their language. Because they have great learning.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Theirs are very sophisticated in their speech, so he's speaking to them on their level. Mm-hmm. He's letting them know, "Hey, you know, you don't have anything on me, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm speaking to you on your level."
Yeah.
And when he spoke to the Corinthians, he spoke to them on their level, because not many of them had knowledge. Not many of them were rich. Mm-hmm. Not many of them were noble.
That's right.
So it's like he was saying, "I am all things to all people."
Yeah.
You know.
So he had already said he had thought himself happy. I mean, yeah. He was doing it with happiness.
Yeah.
Excitement. You know, it wasn't like little mono. Like,
no.
You know, some people say, "I thank God for just being here."
Yeah.
Level, you know. "I woke up, I got another day."
Hey, kind of like you were saying, if what we're going to do, if we get out.
Yeah.
Like
Brother
Wilson said, if you were in prison today and you were in front of a great judge and you were talking to them on their level with all this educational learning, but you were saying you believe, even today, like, "Well, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was raised again. You know, he's sitting in heaven, he's coming back," and they would go like, "You know, you sound like you got great learning, but I think you're mad."
Mm-hmm.
"Well, I think you're crazy. But, you know, even though you appear to have a lot of education, why are you saying that?" Because yeah. Nobody believes that. You know, that's what they would say today.
Yeah. And I don't think he was still either. I think he was just, I think very, very moving.
Because Paul didn't care about it.
Because Agrippa said, "You almost persuaded me." So he had to be doing something. You know, you just wouldn't. He said, "You almost persuaded me to become a Greek." Almost. You got really close.
Talking to professors and stuff, you know, you can tell that they think that anybody that's a Christian is crazy.
And I bet.
When
you're saying you've had. I bet Festus was. I bet he was under conviction when he said that. That stemmed from a wrestling within, that he had. But Paul was affected. The anointing is there to break the yoke, so you can make a sober decision. But if you reject it, it won't work.
That's right.
And let's see. Okay, verse 25. But he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before of whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner."
Amen. He knew all about it.
And then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Paul said, I wish to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice, and they that sat with him. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, "This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds." Then said Agrippa unto Festus, "This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed to Caesar." They, deep down, they knew he was right, but they wasn't ready to commit themselves. So they, when you live the light of God, the light of his word, deep down people know you're right. But they hold back when they're not ready to commit themselves.
Yeah.
But continual, you know, hopefully these men rethought these things and got saved, but you know, they were also living under a challenge like everybody else, because Satan come to, he wants to stop the move of God, but he can't stop the move of the anointing. And hope to see these guys in heaven, but they might not be there.
Paul planted the seed, though.
Huh?
He planted the seed.
He did. He planted the seed.
And I think somebody else came, and we don't know, but like you said, hopefully we'll see.
Hopefully. I hate for a man to be down there 2,000 years. All right. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all the wisdom you give us. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to continue forward in your perfect will. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right.